Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Join this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. It's a Friday. The Packers have just completed their stop on the tailgate tour for the first time ever in the state of Iowa. To talk about that, we have a Dubuque resident on the phone joining us this morning, a Packers blogger. We've had her on the show once before, Amanda Lawson. Amanda, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing wonderful, Brian. How are you this morning?
Good. Thanks for joining us. You're a Dubuque, Iowa resident. This is the first time ever the Packers stopped in the state of Iowa. What was the scene like, and how many Packer fans are there in the state of Iowa?
You know, that's a great question. It was so exciting when everybody here found out that they were going to make their first stop ever in Iowa. I mean, I know quite a few Packer fans, and actually, you know, I just recently realized how many there were in Dubuque, because I actually work with a lot of Bears fans, which is quite unfortunate. But yeah, there's so many fans here. And just to kind of give you an idea of how dedicated the fans are here, when the tickets went on sale, they had $5, which is general admission tickets, and then $30, which was like the VIP, you get the autographs and you got to talk to the players.
Okay.
The $30 tickets sold out within 2 minutes of the gas station's opening to sell the tickets. It was ridiculous.
I heard Mark Murphy say it was the largest audience he'd seen on the entire tailgate tour, so it must have been quite a scene yesterday.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, they just had fans from all ages. We sat next to an older couple, and they kind of talked to us about how they became Packer fans, and you have kids running around who are dressed up in all green and gold. I mean, it was just total entire spectrum of the Packer fan atmosphere. So it was very cool.
What happened last night? I mean, what were some of the things you took away? Was there any interviews, anything said that stood out to you during the event's proceedings last night?
Sure. You know, they came in on the bus, which was, they had this very dramatic, it was indoors. On the bus, and then we got off the bus, and there was a lot of cheering, a lot of chanting, and Mark Murphy, he did an excellent job at kind of directing the questions to the players who were best suited to answer them. I mean, we learned everything from rituals before games, and apparently Jarrett Bush is a huge dancer. He loves to dance before the game, so that was very fun. But then, I mean, there were some more serious questions. I think right now everybody's kind of questioning what's going to happen with Brett Favre, and that was a big thing that was brought up last night. And, you know, it's good to hear that there's a decent relationship there, and people are getting over it. So, I mean, there was all kinds of fun questions. You know, Frank Winters, funny man. Like, he was cracking jokes, and just, it's so awesome to see their bubbly, down-to-earth personalities, and they're these huge stars, and you can just tell everybody's looking up to them, so it was very cool.
Of course, one of the big topics over the past week has been Brett Favre. I know Mark Murphy's made a couple comments on him about retiring his number. How do you feel, Amanda, about Brett Favre and how the Packers should honor him or not honor him going forward?
Really, right now, I think they're doing a great job. They are addressing it when people ask. I mean, last night, somebody came out and asked Mark Murphy, what are you going to do? I hear he's going to come help in the office. What's going on there? And he's like, you know, we have a good relationship with Brett Favre, and when the time's right, we are going to retire his number. Like, they're not hiding that. And mm-hmm. I think that's excellent. I think there are people from the older generations who remember Brett Favre, and he was their everything, you know? I mean, I was really young when Brett Favre started, so I don't remember, like, that so much. I was, like, six when he first started playing. Like, so I don't remember that as clearly as somebody who was a fan way, way before. So I think that people do want him to come back. They want him to be a part of the organization, and I'm fine with that. You know, we have a good thing going. I don't feel burned anymore, but I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I just like that you called it the older generation. That I wonder how people from the Lombardi era are feeling. Are they from the prehistoric generation?
I know. I thought that as soon as I said that, I was like, ooh, how many listeners am I going to offend?
It's cool. I can take it. So I was actually in the stadium when he made his first start ever, Brett Favre. So I was fairly young myself at the time. But anyhow, Amanda, what websites do you write for now? Where can we find your work? I know you blog occasionally about the Packers.
Yep. Most of my work you can find at MidwestSportsFans.com. I also do some writing for PocketDoppler.com as well.
Very cool. Well, thanks for giving us the lowdown on the tailgate tour stop in Dubuque. Glad you had a good time, and let's do it again sometime here.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me on, Brian. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Amanda. Take care.
You too.
Amanda Lawson joining us here this morning on Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. Great to catch up with her. We had her once on the show before. I'm trying to think when that was. It was more than a year ago. It was quite a while ago. But anyhow, it's a Friday morning here. Great to have her on the show. Great to have you, the listener, joining us here on a Friday morning. I just came across on my Twitter feed before going on air. Charles Woodson making a visit to the Oakland Raiders on this upcoming Tuesday. It was passed along by ProFootballTalk.com. I don't know if they were the original reporters or they were just kind of passing along the news as well. But you've been on Charles Woodson lookout a little bit this week. He's been in the news. He had made a visit to the Denver Broncos this week earlier, Tuesday or Wednesday, ends up leaving without a contract offer. So nothing happening on the Charles Woodson front right now, as of nothing appears imminent, any signing or anything like that. But interesting that he could go to Oakland, rejoin Reggie McKenzie, the former Packers executive, now the general manager out there. Kind of makes sense from that standpoint that they would be interested in him. But that's also, of course, where Charles Woodson began his career in the NFL before joining the Green Bay Packers and had played in a Super Bowl for the Oakland Raiders several years ago, losing effort, by the way, but winning his only Super Bowl ring with the Packers. So that's what's happening on the Charles Woodson front. We kind of continue to monitor that. I had seen a quote from, speaking of the tailgate tour, Mark Murphy being asked about Charles Woodson, saying he doesn't think Charles Woodson will end up in Green Bay. It kind of continues to be this topic of conversation because the safety position is so thin in Green Bay. You kind of wonder, could they possibly bring Charles Woodson back for another year? But it just doesn't seem to be in the cards for Charles Woodson to make his return to Green Bay. But regardless, here on a Friday morning at Railbird Central, I wanted to pass along something that I think is pretty cool. Yesterday, and if you read our work here at Cheesehead TV, you may have already have seen this. I wrote an article about it. I had the opportunity yesterday to ask a few questions to Packers rookie running back Eddie Lacy out of the University of Alabama. So just a little background information here. This weekend, he arrived yesterday in California. Eddie Lacy's taking part in the NFL's Rookie Premiere. It's an annual event held in the Los Angeles area, Pasadena, California. that is designed for this year's rookie class, select members of this year's rookie class, to take part in an event along with the NFL's licensed trading card partners, which are Topps and Panini. And what it is, it's an opportunity for the trading card companies to obtain photography and get autographs from, again, select members of this year's rookie class, of which Eddie Lacy and Packers running back Jonathan Franklin were the only members of the Green Bay Packers invited. There's about 30-some-odd rookies taking part in this, so not a whole lot are involved. And I do think it's interesting, just as a side note, that if you were to go online, go Google NFL rookie premiere, you'll find the list of players invited, 30-odd-some players, almost entirely skill position players, meaning quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. Your fantasy players, if you will. There was, out of 30-some players, there were two defensive players invited. I think they were Deion Jordan and Manti Te'o, the only two defensive players, and no offensive lineman. God forbid they invite even the number one overall draft choice to this. It's almost a shame in a way that they can't even do that. The number one overall draft choice, Eric Fisher, can't get invited to this. Just goes to show you how much attention goes to skill position players in the NFL. But we're not going to hold that against Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin. So they're out there. And yesterday, the NFLPA, the Players Association, the association representing players, sponsors this as well. And they put together a Google Hangout, social media type thing. I'm sure if you're actually online and listening to this via live stream, you are probably pretty well know what social media is. So I had the opportunity to join this Google Hangout and ask Eddie Lacy a few questions. And not long. I probably asked him four questions, maybe five. The interview lasted just two, 3 minutes or something like that. But I have the audio here because they posted it onto YouTube. And I want to play my short, brief interview. I'm not even sure I'd call it an interview. I had the opportunity to ask him a few questions. So here's what Eddie Lacy had to say yesterday in our Google Hangout. Here you go.
cheeseheadtv.com, and we cover the Packers there, and we do podcasts, things like that. And so Eddie, it's nice to meet you, and thank you for taking the time to answer a few questions.
No problem.
You've gotten to know Jonathan Franklin a little bit lately. You were his roommate at the Packers mini camp. You and him were both invited to the rookie premiere. How well are you getting along with Jonathan Franklin now that you two are been drafted by the Packers together?
Man, we're extremely cool. It's like we've known each other for like 5 years already. I mean, we both have a sense of humor. We joke around and we play. So I mean, you know, getting to meet him is not as weird as some may think because we both got drafted. But I mean, he's an extremely cool guy.
Can you see yourself and Jonathan being used in the Packers backfield at the same time? Is that something the coaching staff has talked about?
I honestly have no idea. I don't know what they're going to do as far as, you know, me and him being a running back and if they're going to put us in at the same time. I mean, if they do, that'd be cool. But I mean, I really don't know what they plan on doing.
You're kind of known as a bigger guy as far as running backs go. Is there, not to say you would be used full-time as a fullback, but would there ever be any opportunity for you to kind of be used in that role, maybe as a lead blocker?
No, I don't think so.
No. with Aaron Rodgers there, how much have you heard about how important it is to protect the face of the franchise there in pass protection and protecting Aaron Rodgers?
That's pretty much the number one rule there, protect the quarterback, protect Aaron. I mean, that's what any team you go to, you know, the quarterback is the guy who, you know, runs the whole operation and you have to protect him. But, you know, protecting Aaron is pretty much the number one priority.
And finally, can you get 1,000 yards in your rookie season in the NFL?
I really think I can, but, you know, we'll see how it all plays out.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Eddie.
Thanks, no Brian. Problem. Eddie, you want to sign?
So there you go. Packers rookie running back Eddie Lacy saying he thinks he can get 1,000 yards in his rookie season in the NFL. He thinks he can. Also saying there is no, or he doesn't think there's any chance he'll be used as a fullback in Green Bay. I know I've seen people ask that, kind of maybe just speculating perhaps on social media. I thought I'd ask him. It went through my mind as well. And again, I even said, you know, not to intimate that he'd be used as taking over for John Kuhn or being used full time as a fullback. But it went through my mind just given his size, how big he is. But Eddie Lacy doesn't think so. I think he'd rather be seen carrying the football than having to block for somebody. But we'll see. We'll see. I thought that was really cool that the NFLPA put that on yesterday. And I wasn't the only person who had the opportunity to ask Eddie Lacy some questions. If you go to check out our articles here at Cheesehead TV, you can see the video and more people ask Eddie Lacy questions. And there are a couple other players. I think Cordero Patterson for the Vikings had answered some questions. And I think Matt Barkley and Monty Ball, Wisconsin's Monty Ball, answered a few questions as well. And you can all see those on the video there. So that was yesterday. I thought it was neat to the article I wrote at Cheesehead TV kind of centered around Eddie Lacy and he thinking he can run for 1,000 yards in his rookie season. He says, we'll see. I thought, you know, that was kind of neat to write about a little bit. Can Eddie Lacy get 1,000 yards? Does he have what it takes, first of all? And B, will he get enough carries to be able to do that? Now, if you are fully healthy, it's not particularly hard to get to 1,000 yards in the NFL. It over the course of 16 games, it comes out to an average of just over 60-some-odd yards per game. Which, if you think about it, I mean, if you're a workhorse running back, 60 yards a game is not all that much to get to 1,000 yards in a season. And you know, maybe it was more of an accomplishment years ago, decades ago, to be a 1,000-yard rusher in the NFL. I think it's become less of an accomplishment over time, although there is still something to it. I mean, you do have to be healthy to get to that, and you pretty much have to be a team's primary running back. And you know, the guys who make the Pro Bowl, the best running backs in the NFL, I mean, those are guys who are running for 1,000 yards a year, and I'm sure the Packers would like to see that. Packers haven't had a 1,000-yard running back since Ryan Grant in 2009, so been a few years since they've been without one. And in fact, I noted in the article, you've probably seen it mentioned elsewhere as well, Packers haven't even had a 100-yard rusher in a game in 43 games. I think, as I've heard other people say, the longest streak in the NFL without having a 100-yard rusher in a single game goes all the way back to the Super Bowl season, 2010, last time the Packers had somebody rush for 100 yards in a game. You look at that streak, and then you start to realize why the Packers drafted not only Eddie Lacy, but then on top of that, getting the insurance policy in Jonathan Franklin and really making a commitment to the running game in Green Bay, which will be quite different. I mean, you know, the Green Bay is known as kind of a passing team, especially under Aaron Rodgers, especially the past few years. They've had such a great stable of wide receivers, targets for Aaron Rodgers, that it just made sense for them to be a passing team. So it'll be interesting to see how Eddie Lacy, Jonathan Franklin, and company will be used, whether they are simply a complement to the passing game, or, you know, if they're as good as everyone thinks and hopes they are, whether they could be a bigger part of the Packers offense, and whether Mike McCarthy, the play caller, is willing to adapt to that. Could it be in time? Could it be that the Packers offense, you know, kind of goes the other way? You could kind of look at what's happening in Green Bay, and not to say they're going to get rid of the pass completely, but I mean, could you see a situation where, you know, Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin, they're young players, and, you know, we'll throw DeJuan Harris in there too. They're young, up-and-coming players, whereas now in Green Bay, all of a sudden, Greg Jennings has left, Donald Driver's retired, and then you look at a couple other guys whose contracts are coming up, both JerMichael Finley and James Jones after the season. Those guys are free agents. You'd have to think that at least one of those two will be gone after next season. You know, Randall Cobb will be coming up on his second contract, I think, in 2 years' time. Could possibly one or more of these guys leave? And you know, if they do, will it kind of become a more run-oriented offense in Green Bay? But I mean, you know, I'm speaking about wide receivers here specifically, and no matter what, I mean, the Packers have a good quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, just signing a contract that's making him the, you know, quarterback of the Packers for the next 7 seasons. He's going to be under contract, and, you know, as long as he's there, you know, he's going to be the one who makes the passing game go, although it certainly helps to be surrounded by good receiving targets. You know, that was kind of I don't know how you want to describe it, you know, describing some of Brett Favre's years in Green Bay, that they, you know, people criticized they didn't surround him with enough receiving talent. And not to say he didn't have any. I mean, he had Robert Brooks and Antonio Freeman and a couple other players over his years. And of course, you know, it was probably really good in 1996, the Super Bowl year. But, you know, after the Super Bowl year, the talent at the wide receiver position in Green Bay kind of waned, and people thought it was kind of a little bit of a wasted opportunity. You know, you were kind of wasting away Brett Favre's prime years in the NFL by not surrounding him with enough offensive talent. And not to say those Packers teams didn't have talent. You know, they were basically a type of team that would make the playoffs year in and year out. Not to say they did it every single year, but, you know, many appearances over the late 90s, early 2000s there. But just some of that talent was at other positions, on the offensive line, perhaps, where they had guys like Chad Clifton, a multiple-time Pro Bowler, things like that. So, you know, they just didn't have the receiving talent necessarily. But, you know, the Packers had done that for Aaron Rodgers in the early years of his career, getting him a lot of receiving targets during the Super Bowl season. You know, think about it. You know, when they had Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, Jordy Nelson, James Jones, later adding Randall Cobb. So a lot of talent there. But, yeah, just kind of taking a broad look here, where the Packers offense has been and where it's headed in the future, whether they could become a bigger passing team.
John says on the live blog, the Packers finally have the options to have a running game this year for the first time in a long time. They do have the options. Now we just got to see if they make good on it. You know, the other part of the equation, of course, is the offensive line. It's kind of been thought that the strong suit of the offensive linemen the Packers have drafted has been their pass blocking. Guys who, you know, for the most part, and they've given up plenty of sacks as well, although, you know, you can look at the other side of the coin and say, well, for as much as the Packers, you know, drop back to pass, of course they're going to lead the league in sacks given up or something like that. So you can look at it from that angle as well. But, you know, you look at guys like Brian Bulaga, Marshall Newhouse, Jeff Saturday, you know, just some of the guys who were there last season. Those are guys who are known more for their pass blocking than their run blocking. But maybe they're kind of, you know, trying to make that change. You know, Darren College was a guy who was more of a finesse player than a rough and tumble kind of road grader. They got away from him. They got away from Jeff Saturday. They're now going with Evan Dietrich Smith, who's going to be a little bit more of a physical presence. They could probably still get more physical yet at the center position. Evan Dietrich Smith isn't as physical as they come. But, you know, they went from Darren College to TJ Lang. I think Brian Bulaga can be a physical presence if he's healthy. Josh Sitton certainly is. He's the best example of the best of both worlds. You know, both a good pass-blocking and run-blocking offensive lineman and can get it done in the run game. And, you know, we'll see what the Packers got at right tackle. We kind of, earlier this week at Cheesehead TV, kind of looked at that situation and all the options the Packers have at right tackle. There's no fewer than six options the Packers have there. Assuming everybody else is healthy, you know, there's going to be six guys duking it out for the right tackle spot. You've got Marshall Newhouse. You've got Derek Sherrod. You've got the rookies, David Bakhtiari, J.C. Treader. You've got Don Barclay. You've got Andrew Datko. There's all sorts of options the Packers have available to them. It's just a matter of who's going to grab the bull by the horns and run with it. You know, who's going to be the best blocker in the group, whether it's run blocking, pass blocking, the best combination of the two. As I said, it's kind of a situation where may the best man win. And I think that's kind of the appropriate way to handle it and the way they are handling it. So kudos to the Packers coaching staff for finally making that move, moving, you know, Brian Bulaga, Josh Sitton over to the left side of the offensive line, something they should have done a year prior. I don't really get why they waited that long, but anyhow, it's 9 o'clock here on a Friday morning at Railbird Central, and that's going to do it for this morning's episode, folks. We'll be back again, of course, on Monday morning. Ray Rivard of LombardiAv.com is going to join us. A part of the Fansided Network over there is going to join us for an interview. Another Packers blogger. We're going to talk some Packers football Monday morning. So make sure to tune in then. But until then, we'll see you later, folks. On behalf of Jamie Jores, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you later every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Railbird Central. I leave you today with a song called, if I can find it here, Flabbergasting by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go. ¶¶